I realized that this new world that I was now within also had cracks on its ceiling. I started to realize this is something that I can keep expanding. I can keep growing. I can keep bursting out of new worlds into a larger perspective.
Welcome to the Alchemist Lounge. What if you could hang out with high-performing executives, entrepreneurs, and leaders? Ask them about how psychedelics have impacted their self-improvement journeys. Then take an insight or two to guide your own growth. Each week, Alex Atwood takes an in-depth look at how psychedelics can increase fulfillment, solve personal problems affecting your career, and help you gain the success you seek. Alex is an executive and psychedelics coach to high performers, and his goal is to provide strategies to help you reduce conflict, bring awareness, and balance your life through the use of psychedelics. Now, here's Alex.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of the Alchemist Lounge. And today in the lounge, we have Mr. Mike Marburg. So Mike is a former executive with a 25-year career in Wall Street and as a management consultant. He's managed $1.1 billion in assets. And despite all of that success in his career, like many of us, he faced massive challenges in his life journey. And so he began to incorporate different modalities of mind, body, energy practices that have had a profound impact within his life and has shifted his career to a wellness warrior. And so over time, he's realized his purpose was to connect to humanity for transformational healing. And so he left his investing career and founded Wellmore Partners in 2018. And now he's launched a very exciting transformational project called Simply Shenandoah, which is a resort based in the Shenandoah Valley, just a little over an hour outside of the nation's capital of Washington, D.C., which is the seat of power in the U.S. and the world. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be a warrior. It's exciting. A wellness warrior.
You are definitely a warrior. And I was with you last Monday banging the shamanic drum. So if a warrior bangs a drum, that is absolutely you.
There we go.
Let's start this off, this question a few times, and I thought it was very interesting. So I want to learn a little bit about what wellness hospitality is and how it differs from traditional hospitality.
Yeah, so traditional hospitality is really focused on heads in beds, serving a customer's, you know, often business purpose or recreational purpose. And yeah, it's a great industry and, you know, a lot of respect for it. The wellness component, a sub-market of the overall hospitality industry, is focused on outcomes. It's focused on a sense and a feeling that a customer has when they're done staying with them. And there's really two, I sort of break it down into two levels. There's just regular wellness, which is you eat good food, you spend time in nature, you do some outdoor activities, you have some movement, et cetera. And at the end of the day, it's been positive for you, but 3 or 4 weeks later, you're back in the rat race and you kind of feel the same. There's another level, which I'll call transformational wellness, which is when you're done with your vacation a month later, you actually physically feel different. Neurophysiologically, you feel different. You have different worldviews and you're choosing to live your life in a different way. And this latter component, transformational wellness, sort of stands on the shoulders of an existing destination spa industry that I think is super exciting, super needed. It's what I'm, as you mentioned, changed my life to commit to building one of these in the mid-Atlantic, and we're on our path now.
Now that's very exciting. And right before the interview started, we talked about the evolution of wellness in terms of hospitality. And you mentioned, you know, weight loss camps, and you mentioned the 80s when people started to go to different types of retreat type experiences to be able to, as opposed to going on what a traditional vacation is, they would go and try and evolve or transform something in their lives. So this sounds like it's sort of the evolution of that. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it's interesting when you say it that way. 40 years ago, it was very much a physical focus. What you're eating, trying to burn calories, trying to get slimmer, very physical. About 20 years ago, I think I would sort of simplify things and say Miraval came onto the scene and was really focused on mindfulness and introducing balance, living a life in balance. and got very famous after an Oprah interview in the mid-2000s and kind of changed the focus from body to mind. And now what I think the opportunity is to blend all of those together with spirit, right? Mind, body, spirit. And that's when transformation happens, when you have experiences that get you out of your head, gets you into your subconscious, and allows you to release things that are holding you back that are from your past. Does that make sense? Mm,
yeah, absolutely. So what I'm hearing is that there's a potentiality for a resort or a retreat to be able to make a substantial impact in the lives of the people that attend. Does that sound right?
I mean, that's the goal, right? And it starts with the fact that I think our culture right now needs something like this more than ever. There's a much greater awareness that we're not mentally healthy. It doesn't mean we have more people with mental diseases than we did in the past. That's sort of stayed at a mid-teens level, but we have more people that are sort of mentally out of shape, right? Not flourishing, not very satisfied with their life. And so societally, we're ready, and you look at all the statistics on depression, anxiety, suicides, drug death, loneliness, hate crimes, everything is at the all-time worst. And by the way, it was at an all-time worst before COVID, and now it's even worse than it was right before COVID. So we're ready for something. And I think, Alex, that you and I are living this, many people are living this. We'll go on our ski vacations, right? I'm going on gonna go skiing in a few weeks. We'll go on our beach vacations, but we're also going to go on wellness vacations where the objective is to explore, discover, step outside of a comfort zone, and come back with some new habits, new lifestyle patterns.
I got it. So tell me about your path prior to founding Wellmore Partners. What led you to focus on this work?
So my path was very common in the sense that I was working hard. I was, you know, living life, playing hard, working hard, raising a family. It started for me about a dozen years ago when I went through a divorce, and it was a pretty hard process for me. And it really started to make me think about the bigger picture, started reading a lot about the mind, and started to adopt various practices when, as time went on, I got married to my current wife, Jennifer, and realized that there were some patterns with my new relationship that were consistent with my old relationship, and I was a common denominator. And so it was like, okay, I need to maybe step up my game. And some of it was a recognition that I had a very good upbringing, and I attracted circumstances into my life with people that had harder childhoods than I had. And so I started dipping my toe in the water, and it started making me feel better, and I started learning things. And you know, you really address things that are at the surface at first. After the divorce and getting through that, I had a bad accident when I was 20. I'll never forget, Alex. I was actually doing a TRE session, which is a trauma release exercise. And that's something that releases the tension that's in your psoas. So the psoas connects, you know, your back and your hips and your all within your sort of pelvic area. And it's an amazing thing because that's where trauma gets stored, because you tense, that tension gets created. Unless you process the trauma, it doesn't get released. And for me, I ended up doing this trauma release exercise and reliving myself falling backwards down 8 stairs. It was something that happened when I was 20. I got pushed downstairs and I landed on my head and I had a brain hemorrhage. And I had thought about that falling 0 times in my life. I had been drinking. Yeah. So it wasn't part of, you know, something I specifically remembered. But secondly, you just don't think about things like that. And so I relived that, not in a scary way, but in a real way, and processed that tension that was in my body. And from that point on, I felt lighter in my body. There was just less tension because the psoas had released. So at that point, I started to get serious about it. I was like, wow, this is incredible, right? Why do I have to go to Costa Rica or go to Arizona or California? Why don't we have something like this here in the Mid-Atlantic? I can see such huge value and benefits that it's had for me. That's when I started on the project, but it wasn't when my healing stopped. My healing I had to go deeper than that.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that. So at 20 years old, you had a real traumatic event happen to you where you were pushed downstairs. And how long after that event did you go through the TRE therapy?
That was probably when I was 45. So 25 years later. And it's amazing because, you know, I was in intensive care. I had to go through speech therapy, learn how to talk again. And it was a big deal. Not one time did anyone talk to me about trauma, about trauma's lasting impact, about how this might affect me in the future. There was never a discussion. It wasn't when people would talk about trauma in their life, it didn't even occur to me that I should consider that.
Yeah. You know, physical healing is, and I went through the same thing, not in terms of getting pushed downstairs and having a brain hemorrhage, but in terms of having a physical injury and the assumption that once the physical part of it is healed, that somehow the trauma will also heal over time on its own. And what it sounds like is that it stayed in the background, like it was almost a bug in the operating system. Does that sound right?
Yes. I mean, your muscles stay tense. It's called somatic memory amnesia. Your brain forgets how to turn off your nervous system that's lighting up that muscle. And so if you think of a muscle can be extended, let's say that's negative 10, it can be neutral 0 or fully flexed 10. It can get stuck at 6, 7, 8, 9. And so mine was stuck. So I was literally a tight ass. Like I had this tension around my core that didn't have to be there, but I didn't even realize it. That's just how you're living your life. You're living your life.
So then suddenly this traumatic event of a divorce happens in your life. Is that what had you, was that the catalyst that had you start to look at different ways of being able to deal with what you were going through?
Yes, it was kind of a wake up call for me that, you know, I had layered up and I was not what I would call a very self-aware or sensitive person. And I was like, I couldn't believe what was happening and why it happened and why certain things happened the way they happened. And so being the type A, you know, Wall Street guy that I was, I probably read 25 books on the mind and psychology and neurology and really focused, but it was really more on the emotional aspect of things. So why anxiety happens, depression, all this type of stuff and what you can do about it. Right? It was an intellectual pursuit. It was an intellectual pursuit. But transformation doesn't happen intellectually. Transformation happens experientially. So it was a path for me to understand how to get to actual change as opposed to just thinking and being able to talk about how I could be different. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense. Yeah. In order to really understand, you had to experience it. And the TRE was a way for you to actually re-experience it in a way that removed you from it to a certain degree. In other words, you weren't falling down the stairs, but you were able to have a perspective on that particular event that gave you perspective on how you could actually release that trauma.
Yes. And the releasing of that tension was tangible. It was physical. It was an immediate feeling that stayed with me. So it just showed me how much I didn't know about mind, body, spirit. And it made me more open to going down this path further.
What were some challenges that came in the way when you started to move down this new path?
The biggest challenge was access, was the fact that this wasn't part of our culture, that there wasn't a roadmap. There weren't people I could talk to about it. I was group of friends. I was sort of the only one getting into this type of stuff. And that's ultimately was given this vision to open a place here that would make it more part of our modern societal norm for this part of the country in the mid-Atlantic. We don't have access to this type of stuff here.
Yeah. What's important about this work?
You know, Alex, good question. I think the important piece is creating a full connection with who you are as a human being and taking down the barriers, the ego, the default mode network, defense system, and the coping mechanism that have been put in place since we were little kids. Taking those down and rebuilding oneself in a manner that's aligned with who I am today. And through that process, one ends up feeling more connected to other things around us. Mm. It's connecting with oneself that allows us to connect with a purpose, with nature, with people around us, with all living systems.
Mm. Yeah, I get it. And there may be people listening that this may seem a little out of touch to them. So you were going through a divorce, which, you know, many of us can relate to. And what was it like after your TRE therapy and after you started to really feel the experience of the change in your life? What was it like to be going through that divorce?
You know, the divorce had already happened by the time I got to TRE,
yep.
Right? So it was a process. It was an evolution. Mm. And to answer your question, it was like you're going down this path and you notice that there's sort of in your little world, that there's cracks in the ceiling of your little world. And it's like you keep going and you're sort of banging hard on the edges of your conception of what the world is. And you break out into this much larger world. The ceiling's much higher. You know, it's everything is lighter and brighter and it feels better. And then one recognizes that you can fall back into your old habits. So I had to make sure that I was doing things on a daily and weekly basis to stay current with who I felt I could be. And then the beautiful part about it is I realized that this new world that I was now within also had cracks on its ceiling. I started to realize this is something that I can keep expanding. I can keep growing. I can keep bursting out of new worlds into a larger perspective. And that's, you know, that's why it became a sort of a lifelong pursuit for me, a happier way to live my life.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, seeing you now and seeing how you relate and you connect to others and seeing how your creative process works is really inspiring. And to hear that you were actually not in touch with that side of yourself is almost unbelievable for someone that met you in this stage of your path. And, you know, talking about this stage, I want to hear about Simply Shenandoah. What's the purpose of the project?
The purpose of the project is to create a safe, empathetic, sacred space for folks to come, you know, have the potential to engage in transformational wellness. So we've got 120 rooms. It's 640 acres. It's beautiful forested land. I want it to be part of this new cultural movement that is blending vacation with transformation, that is reimagining the resort and spa experience that includes fun plus ancient wisdom traditions, modern healing modalities. And yeah, it's a place that people know they can attend year after year and keep growing as it makes sense to who they are as an individual and what stage of their life they're in. And so it's focused on the individual, but I also want to create space for groups to come together because groups are just collections of individuals who themselves form an organism, who themselves have an identity, who themselves have distrust and issues with alignment and issues with connection and issues with how they feel about themselves. Mm. And I think there's a tremendous opportunity to help with productivity and innovation and assisting enterprises and ecosystems who want to increase collaboration and paradigm shift in a sense.
Mm. That sounds beautiful. It's five-star hospitality meets personal and group transformation. How do you balance your passion with, you know, launching a groundbreaking new sort of venture? Because this is absolutely groundbreaking.
Yeah, it's, you know, my passion is wellness and transformational wellness. And that's the business that I'm in. And so because of that, Alex, I was able to go back into my childhood and resolve some things that happened before I was 6 years old. And without the project that keeps me on the leading edge of the modalities and the practitioners, plant medicine, and all the things that have been used across the world for generations that we've sort of lost touch with in our culture, without that, I wouldn't have been able to, as I'm showing up today. And so I'm just extremely blessed to be working on this project because it's served me. And I really want it to be a catalyzer to, you know, serve others and serve our social needs.
Yeah. And so if there's someone, you know, that's listening to this that says, okay, so I can go to a resort, I can go to a retreat, and in the time that I'll be there, I will experience transformation. So is this something where it's a one shot? I'll be able to go there and I'll be able to experience what I need to experience and then organically bring it into my life and bring it into my companies? Is that how you see this working?
Well, first off, we're not selling transformation, right?
Right.
That's a big ask, yeah. Right? And what we're doing, we're providing the space, we're providing the practitioners, we're providing the experiences that allow someone who has an intention to grow, who has an intention to heal, or whatever their intention might be. We've outlined 8 or 9 intentions that people might have coming in. If they have an intention, then we'll be their canvas through which they can have that experience, right? And what we're going to be really good at is working with them to understand what their interests are, and then combining, making recommendations as to the most productive set of sequence of activities that they can engage in. And so you can't sell transformation, but you can make it available. You can provide a path to potential, right? And then you also are very, I think, appropriate in establishing that there's no golden bullets. There's no one hit wonder. This is my objective, is that people see this as a lifelong pursuit, that they are exposed to things that are outside of what they're currently exposed to, and that they come back to us in the future, or and they participate in other ways and other places in the future. But we're a safe space for transformational experience that they always know will be there for them, that has a fun element to it. It is a vacation. It is by choice, but that also has a sacred component for those that want to go there. And that's the focus.
Yeah. Well, in your story, I hear a lot of self-reflection when you were going through your own personal transformation. And what I also heard was that there was a lot of integration there, you know, learning and then integrating what you learned into your daily life. So my question is, what role does self-reflection play in this whole process? And how would Simply Shenandoah be able to support that integration process as you're integrating it into your daily routines in your daily life?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, which is the fact that as we become aware of different things, I think there's 5 or 6 different modalities that can get you into the subconscious. And that's where real change can happen, and it can be an experiential process. As we become more exposed to them societally, we'll also see that the post-integration, the reflection, the talking about it, making explicit what's happened, creating a story, deciding how we want to change our life based on it, having ongoing interaction around it, is as important as the modality itself. And going to a place where you're there for a day and you come back, or you go to some exotic location and you're there for a week and then you struggle with, how do I live in this modern America? Having space like ours, which is 3, 4, 5 days at a time, where the latter part of it is dedicated towards that reintegration, that reflection, establishing takeaways, having a relationship with other people, right? Having community, the fact that we're a drive to for the DC area. I think that's super important, whether it's with us or with other folks, is that ongoing connection to what's happened and how you can take that forward in your life.
Mm. So building a community of sorts around the groups, that individuals that take part in whatever experiences that they happen to be a part of at Simply Shenandoah.
Yeah, it's a community with other guests. It's a community with the location and the beautiful Shenandoah Valley. It's a community with the practitioners. And so it works in different ways for different people. For some people, it'll be community with what they learn about nature and their different relationship they have with nature.
Yeah.
It's okay to talk to trees.
Yeah. What really excites me about this is the fact that it's located so close to Washington, D.C., where there just isn't that much access to this sort of experience. And so I want to hear from you in terms of the impact that you see this having. What's important about this being so near Washington, D.C.?
You know, I think, Alex, we have to be realistic about what's happening societally and how dramatic things are going to change over the next 20 years, right? And for me, it's really hitting home with folks when they look at AI, right? So yeah, with AI and robotics and, you know, gene editing's now been around for a little bit of time, and, you know, Musk and his neural implant company and the metaverse, all these things are going to cause us to be talking about consciousness and what it means to be human in a way that we've never had before. While at the same time, we're going to have major challenges with how we run our government, our forms of capitalism, you know, how we deal with the climate and species crisis we're going through. So for us to thrive on this planet, the way we engage in almost everything over the next 30 years has to change. And the solution, it's not a left or right. It's not a conventional paradigm. It's going to be something that is currently not commonly understood. And so having a place where groups of people can go together, have alignment, get out of their current locked points of view on how things are in the world, to really come up with convention shifting, paradigm changing, sort of innovative solutions, is, I just can't wait to see it happen. I wish we were open to it today. We still got another couple of years, but creating the space for ecosystems and groups to come together is so important, I think, right now. You know, it's sort of like a Camp David for humanity or an experiential Davos, you know, that sort of thing right outside of Washington. I'm just super excited to see potential. Mm,
yeah. I mean, I actually, you know, when I started to go down a path of transformation, one of the most important places that I saw a need for this was in my hometown, which is the Washington, D.C. area. And immediately when you and I found a connection, I just became so excited about this, because what a beautiful place to be able to provide access to this sort of work. Sort of moving out of this a little bit, I'd love for you, because you're someone who's gone down this path, who's found alchemy in this path, and who now is taking this and providing access to it for as many people as you possibly can. What are some ways to incorporate transformational wellness practices into someone's life? So what's something that someone could do now who may be going through a divorce, who may be going through a traumatic event or not, or maybe doesn't quite know what that anxiety or what that missing is in their lives? What are some practices that they could put into their daily routines or into their lives that could cause slight shifts now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And first off, there's so many amazing resources now, podcasts like this and many others that just have tons of information. But for me, I look at it as there's daily things I have to do to stay myself, right? There's morning routines, there's evening routines, there's the way I'm eating. There's weekly things that I do, you know, involve yoga and certain types of movement. I try to dance every week by myself. as strange as that sounds.
Not strange at all.
For me, for me, music is super important. And then I make it a practice every 6 to 9 months to go and have a more transformational experience, which involves some level of body work with a special energy healer or somatic experiencing, where you're engaging deeply with, whether it's equine therapy or, you know, jumping off platforms, or you're doing things with intention that are meant to help you release, whether it's plant medicine or breath work, holotropic breath work, like a more, you know, hour to 2 hour breath work session. You know, it's sort of, do for me, doing that on a sort of a 6 month cadence, even though I feel like I've healed the things that have gone on in my life, it's just a way to stay fully open, closest to who I am as a human, as an individual, so I can express the love that I have and express a sensitive nature while still surviving in this rat race that we live in.
Yeah.
Right. So it's this constant rat race balance. You know, for me at this age of my life, it comes back to always trying to work only on things that I feel are aligned with my higher purpose, you know, which is, for me, is trying to create space for people to engage with transformational healing. Mm. So,
yeah, That is beautiful. Yeah. And what I heard was a lot of intention in what you do. So whether it's dancing, you have an intention when you're dancing, right? And whether it's breath work, whatever it is, just having that intention is so powerful. So I want to sort of discuss what's next for Simply Shenandoah and what it is that is your current challenge around launching this project.
Well, you know, as a new developer, right? I started this process in 2018. I probably chose the hardest time in the last 50 years to develop a resort, you know, with COVID and then with the inflation and the rising interest rates. And now you have bank failures and all this kind of good stuff. So the biggest challenge is on the equity side, is raising money. We actually have an amazing set of debt partners because we're doing everything the right way from an environmental perspective. We've been able to tap into various types of government and state and local programs. So super set up there. And so we are right now looking for impact investors who are committed to positive change and align this, what I'm talking about, aligns with their values and causes. And so it's really, you know, folks that are investing in health and wellness and microfinance and energy and affordable housing and environmentalism and social change, things like that, that they want to forge new ground. They want to do that while achieving a financial benefit. And so, as I've talked to you about, we have this amazing tribe of investors, about 20 folks that are, they want to make money on their investment, but also want to make an impact. And so we're opening that impact investors partnership up in the next few months to raise the final round of capital. And then it's going to be about execution. And so that's where finding the healing practitioners who want to live in this beautiful Shenandoah Valley, who are grounded in a sense of authenticity and purpose, and for them, serving people and serving the planet is, you know, the most important thing. That, you know, they're not about becoming famous and the accolades. They are beautiful people, and I want to give them a place where they can practice their craft and take the business off the table for them, so they just get to focus on practicing what they're on this earth to do. And we'll handle all the stuff that's a pain in the butt. Because this is an unrecognized community, and I don't think they're properly compensated, and but they're doing beautiful work and they're changing lives, but it's not like they're fully recognized right now. You know, this, the mind, body, spirit, the addressing the part of our lifestyle, which accounts for 60 to 70% of our problems, is not something that is sort of well established. And so I'm very passionate about a beautiful place for these types of people to work. So yeah, the impact investors, amazing practitioners, those are the things coming down the pipe. Mm.
Yeah. And to be able to cause something like that in the seat of power, really in the world, where making that sort of transformation would just cause a ripple effect, is amazing. And the good news is, there are more conscious capitalists. There are more capitalists who are becoming conscious. And so for those who are looking to make a meaningful investment, not just their community, but the world community, starting in Washington, D.C., the capital, this is an incredible project. So thank you so much for bringing this to the Alchemist Lounge. Would have loved to hear more about your story. There's so much alchemy just in the last 25 years. But we'll definitely have you back on as things start to evolve, and just cannot wait to have this sort of access, this sort of resort, this sort of experience so close to Washington, D.C. And maybe we can have a summit of sorts between red, blue.
Yes, I love it.
Middle. And we can all connect in a place that we all feel grounded in, which is humanity. So thank you so much for joining the show, Mike. Anything before we wrap up?
I would just say, Alex, that it's because of people like you who are pioneers, who are stepping out there doing podcasts and making this more conscious part of the narrative in our society, that you know, bringing this to light is so important. So thank you for stepping out and, you know, doing a podcast as a side hustle and all this kind of stuff. I appreciate it and respect it a lot.
Of course. Well, I have a passion just like you do in just having people be able to see that there is more out there than what meets the eye. So thanks so much again, Mike. It's a pleasure having you in the lounge, a true alchemist, and can't wait to see what happens.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for listening in to the Alchemist Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review on Apple iTunes. To catch all the latest from Alex Atwood, you can check out his website at alexatwood.co. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time at the Alchemist Lounge.